Om Ignatamanandasya Jana Jana Salakaya Chaksu Samilatan Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vansakalpa Tubhyascha Kripasindubhayabhacha Patitanam Prabhanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama. I would like to speak about jewels. And I had written down three jewels that I gathered from yesterday's class on the 10th chapter of the 10th canto. Does anyone remember, raise your hand, what that chapter is about and what we spoke about yesterday? Yes, you raised your hand so quickly. Yes, thank you. The mercy on Nalakubara and Manigriva, and the instigator, the start of that mercy, Yadritskaya, somehow or another, by the supreme will, that they came in contact with Sri Narada Muni. And the Lord's mercy followed. And interestingly enough, that mercy came in the form of a curse in something very negative, but the negative had something very positive within it. So how wonderful, it's something that we can consider in our lives too. So and they had the opportunity, these two conscious Arjun trees, they had the opportunity to watch Krishna's pastimes going on right before their eyes. So we found three jewels to share with you on this. This is the sixth jewel. Yes. The exalted Sudha Vatsalya Prem of Yashodama is extremely powerful, for it can overpower and control Krishna. Oh, this is actually from the last one. Control Krishna, the all-powerful Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yet, such love can nevertheless be attained by one free from the bodily concept of life, who without imitation follows in the footsteps of Krishna's eternal associates, such as Yashoda. Attaining such depth of love is life's goal. Jewel 7. False pride, and this was one of the essential points that we learned of when we heard of what caused the problems of Nalakuvera and Manigriva. It was their opulence, it was their wealth. No, it was their pride. And that pride is false pride because it can be removed at any moment. We're proud of something that isn't ours. So false pride is a curse born of material wealth and opulence. Being poverty-stricken, on the other hand, can bless one with humility and the ability to easily associate with saints. The lesson here, however, is not that wealth should be eschewed or given up for poverty, but that everyone should be cautious when dealing with wealth and opulence, because pride tends to take birth along with these two signs of fortune. Therefore, although capable of acting with lion-like boldness, as we saw with Srila Prabhupada, devotees naturally, internally experience themselves as humble, bereft, and in need of mercy. Because when one is proud, one thinks one doesn't need anything or anyone. Jewel 8. A humble, purified person desires to fully engage his speech, his hearing, legs, and other senses. This means practically speaking. So because everyone desires, we have to desire. It's the nature of the soul to desire. It's the nature of being conscious to desire. So this is what a purified soul desires. Let me always be engaged in Krishna's service. My speech, my hearing, my legs, my arms, my senses, my head, eyes, and mind. This means, practically speaking, that such a person should sincerely adopt the practices of seva, service, and sadhana bhakti, such as panchanga bhakti. For these actions cultivate taste, and not only that, they attract Krishna's mercy. And the final jewel from yesterday's class, the words of Krishna himself emphasize that association with a fully determined and surrendered devotee, sadhu, saint, ultimately results in freedom from material desires, a blossoming of spiritual desires, and then finally, ultimately, Krishna's blessings. Because when Nalakuvara and Managriva, when they effulgently came out of the tree, so bright and effulgent, out of their tree bodies, they glorified Krishna, but Krishna said, no, this is not me who's merciful. This is Narada, this is the devotees, and coming in contact with such a saintly devotee will only benefit a soul. And then ultimately, as our spiritual desires develop, then Krishna's blessings come more and more. So let us continue with this 11th chapter. The chapter after the 10th chapter is the 11th chapter. And the last verse, when Nalakuvara and Manigriva, they asked Krishna's permission, they circumambulated him, and then they returned to their homes in the heavenly planets with Krishna's blessing, his confirmation that they would remain Krishna conscious. And then Sukadeva Goswami said, O Maharaj Prickett, when the Jamalajuna trees fell, all the cowherd men in the neighborhood, hearing the fierce sound, because it was a great, great crashing sound, and fearing that thunderbolts had struck, they went to that spot. But it took them a while to get there. How do we know that? Our acharyas say that it took one muhurta, or 48 minutes, for them to get there. Because if they would have gotten there immediately, they would have seen these two effulgent figures praying to little baby Krishna, who was still tied to the wooden grinding mortar. They would have seen that, and they didn't see that. But the sound struck them so much, they could not move for 48 minutes. And then they came to their senses and immediately ran there. And at that time, by that time, the Nalakuvara Managriva had gone. And they came running. The men came first. And the ladies, very bewildered, especially Mother Yashoda, was feeling very bad. Could what I have done to my darling Krishna caused him some harm? So she told Nanda Maharaj everything. And then the men came, especially they came, and everyone gathered around. And they saw the fallen Jamalajun trees on the ground. And they were bewildered. Even though they knew the trees had fallen, they could not understand how and why, what had caused them to fall. There were strong trees, there were no termites, white ants, there was no great wind, there was no thunderbolts, there was no mad elephant nearby who was pushing everything over. And they couldn't exactly see Krishna because he was covered by the branches. So they were in complete anxiety. And the third verse, and Krishna was bound by the rope to the ulukal, the mortar, which he was dragging. He was still bound. How would it be possible that he, this little boy, who could only crawl, practically speaking, how could he be the cause of these giant trees falling down? Who had actually done it, they thought. Where was the source for this incident? And considering all these amazing things, these astounding things, the cowherd men were doubtful. They were bewildered. Srila Prabhupada writes in his purport, the cowherd men were very much agitated because the child Krishna, after all, had been standing between the two trees. He was tied there or nearby. And if by chance those trees had fallen on him, he would have been smashed. And Krishna was everything to them. But he was standing as he was, and still these things had happened. So who had done all this? Why had these events all happened? These considerations were some of the reasons they were agitated and bewildered. They thought, however, that by chance Krishna had been saved by God, so that nothing had been happened to him. We'll read some of our Acharya's comments on this third verse as well. Sanatana Goswami says, Sukadeva says this to point out that the cowherds had no idea about Krishna's power. And not only that, the boy was still bound with ropes. In case someone were to answer by some god or demon had done this, then they would ask, why? Jiva Goswami, they were anxious that the fall of the trees might have done something bad to the child. Furthermore, not seeing him, he was covered by the branches. He was screened from view by the branches. Even when they came close, they were very disturbed. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments, their love for their boy prevented them from realizing that he had such ability, and they were confused. They were just thinking Krishna was protected by the Supreme due to good fortune. They could not think otherwise. Then they asked these cowherd boys who were standing around, the little boys, Krishna's friend, who had been surrounding him, because Mother Yashoda had always placed these boys around Krishna when she left, when she tied him up. And Krishna was crying and crying. And Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champo describes that as soon as Mother Yashoda left, while she was standing there, he was crying. And as soon as she left, he stopped crying and started laughing. And he started pulling the mortar this way and then that way and this way and that way. And he describes that he pulled it, the mortar, to each of the houses of the elderly gopis who had supplied rope to Mother Yashoda. And he told the boys, go in there and steal butter. Quick, quick, go steal sweets. And then, of course, he pulled it down and the boys saw it and they remained stunned. And they saw everything that had happened. They were the only ones who saw Nalakuvara and Manigrivi effulgently come from the trees. So they said to the boys, what happened? What happened? And they said, Bala Uchu Aneneti, all the boys said, Anena, by him, Iti Tirya Gatam Alukalam, that the mortar went crosswise. It went this way, between the trees. Vikarsita Madhyagena, and going between the trees, then Purusav Apya Tsaksmahi. Then two Purusas, two persons, two beautiful persons. They didn't say any more than that. And then they said, I saw this, we saw this with our own eyes. They couldn't, it was very childish what they said. They couldn't complete the sentence. They didn't say that the trees fell over even. And then Nanda Maharaj and all the cowherd men hearing what the boys said, because of their intense affection for Krishna, they could not believe that Krishna himself could have pulled the mortar, and because of that pulling the mortar, the trees had fallen in such a wonderful way. Therefore, they could not put their faith in what the boys said. But some of the men who are watching, Bhaguri Muni being one of them, our acharyas say, some of the Brahmins, they said that since Gargacharya, Gauga Muni had said Narayano Samogunai, that this boy has equal qualities to Lord Narayan, it might be that he could have done it. But a small boy, Balasya, pulling down these great trees by pulling a mortar, and the rope didn't break, but rather the trees fell down. So very, very confusing for them. So then Nanda Maharaj pushed away the branches of the tree, and he saw Krishna bound with ropes to the wooden mortar that he had been dragging. And he smiled, and he untied Krishna. So different acharyas explained differently why he smiled. And one acharya, perhaps Srila Jiva Goswami, thought that Krishna must be so, Nanda Maharaj thought, Krishna must be so frightened, these trees just fell practically on top of him. And there he was. By this time Krishna had started crying again. So Nanda Maharaj smiled just to make him more peaceful. Don't worry. Oh, Lala, everything is okay. Don't worry. And he released. Mother Yashoda had tied him, and the only one who could untie him, release him, was Nanda Maharaj. Now, these six verses that I just read are all the Bhagavatam, how the Bhagavatam describes the release of Nanda Maharaj's releasing Krishna. But Srila Jiva Goswami in Gopal Champu, he describes it in a very dramatic way. Now, if we have some harmonium accompaniment, and he tells more details that are very, very touching. If we would have a violin handy and some tissues, it would probably be helpful. 2 years ago, I remember that our Satchinanda Maharaj, he also told this pastime in a very wonderful way. And I'd like to read it, what happened. A terrible sound, this is backing up a little bit, arose from the trees, and Krishna pulled the two trees down. All the inhabitants of Braja, other than those who were deaf, could not maintain their composure on hearing that sound. What was most astonishing, however, was that Krishna had broken the two trees, which were as hard as thunderbolts, but he could not break the bondage of affection he had with his mother. That rope still remained tied. Poets praise this. I praise the child cared for by the women of Braja. He has a dark complexion And as he walks, his ankle bells jingle. He gives joy when he crawls. He produced a rough sound as he pulled the mortar over the earth, and that is why he pulled it slowly, so that no one could hear the sound of the mortar being pulled and then would come. His eyes became restless as the curious, thunderous sound of the falling trees. And hearing that fearful sound of the falling trees, the inhabitants of Braj remained fainted, unconscious for one muhurta, 48 minutes. And only the boys around Krishna did not faint, experiencing the height of sweetness in his pastimes. They did not become frightened, but they remained stunned, immobile, as if they were painted pictures. Hearing that sound from far off, the villagers speculated on its origin and immediately went to that place. They arrived all at the same time, and they were all full of anxiety. They conversed with each other. How could this have happened? Without wind, without rain, without thunderbolts, without mad elephants pushing them over, how is it possible for someone to uproot the trees when there is no one here? For that reason, everyone fainted on hearing that loud sound. Then they noticed that Krishna was near the trees. And he was smiling. Pulling the mortar, he was experiencing bliss in his actions. They surrounded him, saying, "How did this happen?" But seeing his father coming from behind, Krishna immediately began crying. And his frightened father smiled in order to comfort the child. And he untied him. He kissed his boy's face. He repeatedly asked what happened, though he knew the cause of his being tied up. "Where is the rascal who has tied you to this mortar?" he asked. Attached to his father, he came near him and put his arms around him as if he was terribly afraid. And he whispered in his ear, "Oh, father, mother did this to me." Yashoda, after recovering from fainting and lamenting what she had done, she told Nanda everything. Thus, he had already known. But he did not want to say anything suddenly to Krishna while alone with him. But not with disrespect, but out of ignorance of the details, he asked the other boys, "How did this happen?" And the boys spoke. "Krishna went between the two trees in order to get a wider space for playing. And he pulled the mortar by its base in a crooked manner, but he produced a cracking sound in the trees, and suddenly they fell to the earth. And then we saw two people who were refulgent like fire. They were wearing bracelets, crowns, and earrings. They emerged from the broken trees and they offered respects in all directions. They praised Krishna and then they departed for the north." Hearing this, all the people with parental feelings, including Nanda, dismissed this as just childish talk. Others, however, could not remove the doubt from their heart that perhaps this is really true. Gradually, one by one, others came and joined Nanda, holding Krishna on his chest. He went to the Yamuna River to perform his daily rites. He took bath with his son. He had brahmanas chant auspicious mantras, and after dismissing them with great gifts, he returned to his house to take his morning meal. Now watch how, watch with your ears, which will become eyes. Watch how Krishna churns rasa from this pastime. Being unhappy because of separation from Krishna and ashamed at having tied him up, Yashoda did not come out of the house. She would not even talk to the other women in the house. And when the other women left, Rohini, who solves all problems, surrounded her with the other ladies of Braja. Then Nanda brought Krishna and Balaram and ate his meals with them. They ate lunch, and while they engaged in affectionate, soft, playful talk, Nanda Maharaj relaxed with the two boys who were the supreme bliss incarnate for two muhurtas, 2 times 48 minutes. His heart was satisfied with them as if he was lying on a soft bed. Then they went to the cow shed, and the cows came, and Nanda supervised the milking of the cows. He brought sugar from the house, and he had the two boys, along with his friends, drink fresh milk from the cows as a substitute for breast milk. And he put sugar in the milk. He taught them how to write some letters. And then he entered his house. He met with others, and desiring unbroken happiness for his son, the head women, including Rohini, the jewels of their families, came and made a request. They said, "O King, Yashoda Maiya, her heart is broken. She has not eaten all day. She will not even speak to anyone. And seeing that, we have all followed her example." Nanda spoke. He replied with sadness and a smile, "What can we do? After showing anger, one should regret one's fault. But the ladies, with tears in their eyes, they spoke to Nanda and said, 'But she is so soft externally and internally. If we tell her what you just said, she will be devastated by your words.'" Nanda smiled and looked at Krishna. "Will you go to your mother?" "No. No. I will only spend my time with you." Then the wives of Nanda's elder brothers, that's Upananda and Abhinanda, they said, "If you're with your father, how will you drink milk?" "I will drink fresh milk from the cows mixed with sugar." "Well, then who will play with you?" "I will play with my father, and I will bring my brother Dao also." "Will you not go with your brother's mother, with Rohini?" "Because Rohini, when Krishna was bound with the mortar, she wasn't present. She was visiting Upananda at that time. And Krishna was angry at her. And he said with tears in his eyes, 'Little mother left me and went away.'" Hearing this, Rohini, with tears in her eyes, said so softly, "Oh son, why are you being so hard? Your mother is suffering." And not listening to her words, Krishna, with tearful eyes, he looked at his father's face. And Rohini gave a signal to Balaram to bring Krishna. So Balaram went to Krishna and held his hand, and Krishna went And he ran to his father and sat on his lap. And he placed his arms around Nanda's neck. And he looked in Nanda's tear-filled eyes. And he completely brought Nanda Maharaj under his control. But Nanda Maharaj knew Krishna's affection for his mother. So he raised his hand and said, because he wanted to bring out Krishna's affection, "Oh son, if you agree, I will beat her." And Krishna immediately grabbed Nanda's hand and stopped it from moving. Smiling again, Nanda, showing great compassion out of his unlimited affection and understanding the heart of his wife, Yashoda Maya, he said, "Oh son, if your mother is in this condition," and then he moved his hand, "what will you do then?" Krishna immediately dropped his hands from around Nanda's neck, and he was filled with anxiety and with tears in his eyes. He said, "Where is mother? I must go there." And he immediately went over to Rohini's lap. And everyone was... And Rohini, who bestows the greatest happiness, she took Krishna by the hand and entered the house. And Krishna, when he saw his mother Yashoda, he ran to her and hugged his mother's neck, and he was crying in joy. Yashoda kissed the child's head and made sounds like a cow. With melted hearts, she sobbed, and everyone else, all the ladies there, also sobbed. Yashoda then pacified the women with comforting words, and a slight glow finally appeared on her face because she was with Krishna. She appeared healthy with a beautiful face, and she satisfied her child with her breast milk. And with the other helpful women, she fed Krishna and Balaram. For 3 days after this incident, Yashoda would not show herself to Nanda. But on the 4th day, Krishna, on the order of his father, held the edge of Yashoda's cloth, and she pulled her into the presence of Nanda Maharaj. And from that day, the day that he was bound up by Yashoda Maya to the mortar, the women of Braja called the beautiful dark child Damodar. Neither Lord Shiva, and this is one of the verses we read from the 9th chapter of the 10th canto, neither Lord Brahma, nor Lord Shiva, nor even Sri, the goddess of fortune, who is always the better half of the Supreme Lord, can obtain from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the deliverer of everyone from the material world, no one can obtain the mercy as received by Mother Yashoda. What intimacies of exchanges of love. And Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu means the ocean of bhakti. And that ocean is not a flat ocean. Full of waves of different varieties of moods, Vyabhachari Bhav and Satvika Bhavs and Anu Bhavs. And here Krishna caused a giant tsunami to flow through the ocean of bhakti. Now, and this is caused really by the glorious love that Nanda and Yashoda have for Krishna. And this love makes Krishna dance. And it makes all of Braj dance. What anyone like to say anything in glorification of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yasoda? Just raise your hand. Yes. Yes. Oh. Oh, I know you. It's Krishnamurari Goswami. Oh, come up here. Would you like to say something about... Oh, thank you very much. First, could you say something about Nanda Maharaj and perhaps speak about Krishna's birth and how the Brijbasis reacted to that?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
It is said that Nanda Maharaj had a great chinta, great worry, because he was 90 years old and he has not received anyone in her house, in his own house, as a son or a daughter. So he was really very, very sad. And one evening when he was about chanting his Narayan mantra, he even forgot to chant the Narayan mantra and he was chanting something else. He was chanting, "Till now, abito bhayoina," that means in Brajabhasha, that no one has come yet. No one has come yet. No one has come yet. And the secretary of Nanda Maharaj, he asked Nanda Baba that, "Why don't you organize for a very good feast for the Brajabhasis? They are very much powerful. If they give you blessings, you can get a good son in your house." Then Nanda Baba organizes for a big feast. And then when Nanda Baba is serving the big laddus to the Brajabhasis, the secretary of Nanda Baba, he is chanting this thing, "Le Brajabhasi ladua le," that, "Oh Brajabhasi, take this big laddu. And Baba ku ladua so lala de," and bless Nanda Baba so that he gets a son like this laddu. And the blessings of Brajabhasis really come true. And after some time, on the 8th day of the month of Bhadrapad, Krishna was born into the house of Nanda Baba. And as soon as Nanda Maharaj heard that a son has taken birth in his house, Nanda Baba dresses himself. An old man, 90 years old man, dresses himself. He puts kajal in his eyes on that day. He has those white beard. He dresses the white beard and puts a yellow color turban and with a chandrika, with a feather chandrika on his head. And he moves with his golden stick towards Nanda Bhavan. And when he reaches Nanda Bhavan, he announces that, "Please, someone go to the edge of Nanda Bhavan and invite everyone to take whatever one wants to take from Nanda Baba's house." Nanda Maharaj leaves open all the storehouses which he has. Not even a single is closed. All the storehouses of Nanda Baba are open because he wants to give everything. And as soon as the Brajabhasis hear that Nanda Baba has got a son, so they come to greet Nanda Baba. And it is said that, "Jur chaliye badhavan nand mehre ghar sundar braj ki bala," that the beautiful gopis and other gopas, they also have started from their houses to come and give something to Nanda Baba. So here one cannot see any mood of receiving something. Everyone wants to give. That is the mood of giving. Nanda Baba wants to give. All the Brajabhasis, they have come to Nanda Baba's house. They want to give. Some of the Brajagopikas, they are giving blessings to the son who has born. And one older gopi who was not so rich, she only had a small curd, you know, a small pot of curd, which was 3 days old. And because she had nothing to give, she just thought, why not I give this? This is everything which I have. So she even took that pot of curd and she wanted to give it to Mother Yashoda so that it can be used anywhere. And that pot was used after putting a saffron into it for the purification process. In Braj, this curd and saffron, when it is mixed, it is sprinkled over for purification. Because the water of Mother Ganga is considered to be purifying. But in Braj, water of Ganga is not in use. Because it is said in cow and in the cow products. In the cow, all the holy tirthas and all the holy rivers live. And whatever comes from the cow, that is even more purifying than the waters of Ganga. So that was sprinkled. And all the Brajabasis looked like gems. And one of the writers in Brajabasha, he has described that today, on the day of Janamashtami, a single ornament, which enhances the beauty of Nanda Bhavan, has taken birth today. Nanda Bhavan ko Bhushanamai. Krishna is the greatest ornament which decorates Nanda Bhavan. Without him, Nanda Bhavan does not look good. Kaal ko kaal ish ishan ko. Although he is like a death to the death personality. You know, kaal ko kaal ish ishan ko. He is the Ishwara of all the gods. Shiva ko dhan santan ko sarvas. He's the only wealth which Lord Shiva has. Shiva is Avadut, has nothing. But the greatest wealth which Shiva has is Krishna. Mahima ved purana nagai. And his glories are chanted in the Vedas and Puranas. Nanda das ko jivan girdhar. Nanda bhavan mein janmo kanhai. That Nanda das's greatest wealth in life is that form of Krishna who has taken birth in Nanda Bhavan. And yes, no words can really, really glorify the fortune of Mother Yashoda, Brajabasis. Nanda Baba's fortune is not, it cannot be described. It is said when Nanda Baba was giving away everything which he had in his house, the devatas in the sky, they were feeling like jealous of the Brajabasis, that why don't we were born there? Why are we sitting up here? Why were we not there? We could have begged something from, we could have received something from Nanda Baba. And there's one specific song which describes the glory of the fortune of Mother Yashoda.
It's glorious. Yes.
It says, Vishwako Rachaya, the creator of the three worlds, Pratipalak hai characharako. And he maintains the living and the non-living. Tahe bhuko jaan maya achara pibave hai. That when that person who creates the three worlds and maintains the living and non-living, when he feels hungry, oh Mother Yashoda, you feed him with your own breast milk. Binahi vani ke vakta hai chara vedan ko. Krishna is just few days old. And he cannot speak. Still, he is the speaker of the Vedas and Puranas. Tahe Baba Baba keh Maya bole wo sikhave hai. And oh Mother Yashoda, you are the one who teach him how to say Baba to Nanda Baba. Jaki drik dekh kaapen shesh Mahesh. Even if Krishna glances to Shiva, Ananta Shesha, and Brahma with his little angry eye, not very much angry, very little eye, they tremble. Ananta Shesha and Brahma and Shiva, they tremble. And taki drik badhave ku maya anjana lagave hai. That just to increase the size of Krishna's eyes, Mother Yashoda every day applies kajal on the eyes of Krishna's eyes. Dhanya dhanya Yashoda maya tiro bhag. That all glories. The greatest fortune of Mother Yashoda. Ja, jo jagku god khilave, the one who holds the three worlds in his own lap, tahe maya god khilave hai. So Mother Yashoda is holding that personality who holds the whole universes and the three worlds in his own lap, that personality is held by Mother Yashoda in her own lap. So who can describe the greatest fortune of Mother Yashoda?
Thank you. Thank you so much, Poonam.
Sukadev Goswami, after demonstrating with his words the unique, inconceivable relationship between Krishna and Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda and Mohini and all the Vrijbasis, how Krishna is a plaything in their hands, he recites several verses to Maharaj Prickett that show that it's not only Nanda and Yashoda who control Krishna with their love, but all the Vrijbasis do. And this is what he says. And then he will describe why Krishna is doing this from one level. The gopis would say, and this actually took place just after the killing of Trinavarta. The gopis would say to Krishna, when Krishna was playing inside, if you dance, my dear Krishna, then I shall give you half a sweetmeat. And by saying these words, or by clapping their hands, all the gopis encouraged little Krishna in different ways to dance. At such times, although he was the supremely powerful personality of Godhead, still he would smile and dance according to their desires, as if he was a wooden doll, kaputli, putulnat, in their hands, a puppet in their hands. Sometimes he would sing very loudly at their bidding, and in this way, Krishna became completely under the control of his devotees. And sometimes Mother Yashoda and her gopi friends would tell Krishna, oh Krishna, bring that book from over there, bring that table, bring that article. Sometimes they would order him to bring a wooden plank, wooden shoes, or a wooden measuring pot, and Krishna, thus ordered by the mothers, would try to bring them. And sometimes, however, if unable to lift those things, he would touch them and stand there. And just to invite the pleasure of his relatives, he would strike his body with his arms just to show how strong he was. Now, Krishna is acting in this way for a very wonderful reason. Of course, there's the exchange that he's having with these great lovers of his that are Krita Punja Punja, that are perfected, but of the verse now. But there's another reason too. And here's the other reason. Srila Sukadev Goswami says in the ninth text, Darshayan Tad Vidam Loka, to show Darshayan, those persons in this world, throughout the whole world, such as Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, Darshayan Tad Vidam Loka, unto all the people of this world, especially in the category of the all-powerful ones like Brahma and Shiva, he wanted to show them something. And by showing them, he's also showing us that Atmano Bhritya Vasyata, that he is controlled. He is controlled by, he gives himself to his servants. Bhritya Vasyata, to his servants, he is controlled. And in this way, He gives happiness to all the Brijbasis through this type of intimate, personal, non-formal exchanges of love. And in this way, Bhagavan Bala Chestita. In this way, the Supreme Lord, God, the Almighty, the All-Powerful, who has all the universes upon his lap, in this way, he performs his Bala Chestita, his childish, boyish, boyhood activities. Just to let us see, he's opening up a window to what the supreme, intimate, most intimate part of the spiritual world is like, where the resonants have the most intimate and personal, loving relationship with him. He's opening up his heart in that sense and letting us look right inside and saying, this and understanding, and even letting Lord Brahma and Shiva understand that this is what the heart of the Supreme Lord is like. This is what he wants. He wants to have loving exchanges with the devotees. And after Krishna was tied up by Mother Yashoda, and after he heard the prayers of Nalakovari Manigriva, one of our acharyas, perhaps Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, explains Krishna's thoughts, thinking, these demigods have offered me so many prayers, but I much prefer the chastisement of Mother Yashoda because of it being soaked in love. So consider this when you do your service. The big, big demigods do big, big services. They control, and for the pleasure of Krishna, they organize the universe. But the love that the Brijbasis do, they make Krishna dance for a sweetmeat because of their love. So let us try to put some affection, more and more affection, more deep. Get it's so easy to say it, but how do you say, from now on I'm going to have more affection? How do you say, please have more affection? It just doesn't work in that way. But if we examine the character of Krishna, we'll see that there is no one more worthy of affection than he is. And he's telling on us, he's showing us this. There was one comment that just when these childhood pastimes had started, a comment by one of the acharyas, just after Gauga Muni had explained the qualities that Krishna would manifest, baby Krishna would manifest, he said, now those qualities are something that should be heard, but now here is something that must be seen. So these very intimate pastimes, the curtain is being opened to Braja by Sukadeva Goswami, and we should very, very carefully look within, behind those curtains, and see these wonderful activities of Krishna. So to show even Lord Brahma this, and Lord Shiva this, Krishna performed Brajasya Bhavaya, our son Bhagavan, he who possesses all opulence, Bala Chestita. So what does Krishna want? He says, Patram Puspam Palam Toyam Yomam Bhaktam. But if it's just given with some devotion for your pleasure, because false ego means I am in the center, and bhakti means Krishna's pleasure is in the center. And when something is soaked in bhakti, Krishna relishes that taste so well. So much. Then another story, he continues. He explains. Once, a woman selling fruit, she was calling out. This was a Adivasi woman coming from a lower caste class. She was calling out, oh, inhabitants of Braja Bhumi, oh, inhabitants of Braja, if you want to purchase some fruit come here, and purchase it from me. And upon hearing this, Krishna immediately took some grains in his little hands, and he went to trade those grains for the fruit, as if he needed fruit. Now, in Ananda Vrindavan, and there's one more verse that describes what happens, and we'll read that in a moment. But here in Ananda Vrindavan Temple, Srila Kavi Kanapur, he describes adds a little more detail. Hearing her calling for customers, Krishna came out of his house to see. The fruit vendor was enchanted by seeing the two pink lotuses of Krishna's feet. And in the cup of his small lotus hand, Krishna was carrying some grains to trade for the fruit. But by the time Krishna reached the fruit vendor, however, the grains had already slipped through his little hands. But as he walked towards her, the jingling of Krishna's golden ankle bells captivated the ears of the fruit vendor, and she looked at him. She absorbed her eyes in the full experience of seeing Krishna, who is the personified stream of bliss, as he moved in such an enchanting way. And he was more enchanting than a beautiful rain cloud. And then the 11th verse. When Krishna was going to the fruit vendor very hastily, most of the grains he was holding fell to the ground. Nevertheless, the fruit vendor filled Krishna's hands with so much fruit that Krishna needed his Aishwarya Shakti to hold them all. And then Krishna took the fruit and walked back inside his house, and he pulled on Yashoda Ma's sari and pulled it out, her cloth, and put all the fruits in there. And there was so much fruit. And Mother Yashoda said, where did you get all this fruit from? Oh, there was some lady out there who gave them to me. You were out there taking things from an unknown lady? Please sit down. I want to tell you something. It is not that you can trust everyone. You should know this. Just go. Don't take anything from anyone. I can't trust everyone. No. Oh. And the fruit vendor, her fruit basket, she looked and saw it was immediately filled with jewels and gold. Prabhupada in his purport says, from this incident, one should learn that for anything offered to Krishna with love and affection, Krishna can reciprocate many millions of times over, both materially and spiritually. The basic principle involved is an exchange of love. Therefore, Krishna teaches us in Bhagavad Gita, yat karosi rasnasi, yat chahosi tvasiyat, tat karusva marapanam. O son of Kunti, all that you do, all that you eat, all that you offer and give away, as well as all austerities that you may perform, should be done as an offering to me. with love and affection, Prabhupada continues, one should try to give something to Krishna from one's source of income. Then one's life will be successful. Krishna is full in all opulences. He does not need anything from anyone. But if one is prepared to give something to Krishna, that is for one's own benefit. The example is given in this connection that when one's face is decorated, the reflection of one's face is automatically decorated. Similarly, if we try to serve Krishna with all our opulence, we, as parts and parcels or reflections of Krishna, will become happy in exchange. Now, there's another pastime that is described here that leads to another pastime, that leads to another pastime. And rather than just reading it as Srila Sukadeva Goswami spoke it here, I'd like to read it from Srila Jiva Goswami's Gopal Champu. I find this part very charming. Please listen carefully. 5 days after the remarkable event of the falling of the Jamalarjuna trees, Upananda went to Krishna, to his own house, and he inquired from his wife, "Did you go to the house of Nanda today?" And his wife replied, "Who can remain steady without going to his house? What to speak of we who are his relatives?" Upananda said, "Did something special happen today?" And his wife said, "A person who has prema, love, also must have great fear. Having eyes is full of worry. Having eyes that are full of worry, although protected by their fearful mother, please hear what happened today. Yashoda was busy preparing Nanda's lunch, and Rohini was helping, and the two boys, Krishna and Balaram, went far away. They had young ladies taking care of them, but they considered those young ladies to be obstacles to their fun, so they fooled them. So when the young ladies just looked away for a moment, Krishna and Balaram hid. And then when the young ladies went looking for them, they went looking in this direction. Krishna and Balaram came out of their hiding place and ran to the Yamuna. And then they began to play in a noisy way with their friends. So the young ladies understood after a few moments they had been tricked, and they went quickly searching for them. They called their names for a long time, and Krishna and Balaram did not reply because they wanted to play with their friends. So they gave up, and they went to Rohini and Yashoda to tell them what had happened. The two boys had gone to a place by the Yamuna River that was very deep. And hearing this, Yashoda Maya became filled with fear, and she sent Rohini to get them. She thought, perhaps some trees like the Jamalarjuna trees will fall on them, or the river will block their path and they won't be able to return. Please, please go and bring them back as I cook, because I don't want to be interrupted with my cooking. So with a very troubled mind and a troubled body, Rohini went there and called to Krishna, who broke down those Arjuna trees and who was playing by the bank of the river. But Krishna was absorbed in play, and controlling the boys, he did not hear her call. And Balaram ignored her as well. And giving up after some time, she went home. And she sent Yashoda Ma, because she knew if there was anyone that Krishna feared, it was Yashoda. When Yashoda arrived, she saw Krishna. And she saw Krishna playing with Balaram and the other boys. And she called him. And milk was flowing from her breast due to her affection. It was like rain. She did not approach immediately because she thought that if I come quickly, Krishna will just run away. So she began calling out from a distance with great sweetness, Krishna, Krishna, Aravindaksha, O lotus-eyed Krishna. Tata, tata means, oh dear one, oh dearest one, Ehastanam Pipa, please drink the milk coming from my breast. Alam Viharai Chut Kris Chut Chanta Credo Shranto Piputraka. Oh my dear boy, you must be so tired from your playing and you must be hungry because you haven't eaten since this morning. But Krishna did not come, because they were having a competition together and Krishna wanted to win. But Yashoda was determined. She thought that Balaram, as the elder brother, would listen to her words with respect. So she very, very tenderly and sweetly called out to him, Oh Balaram! Oh Bala! Nanda Maharaj! The king of Braja is now waiting to eat. Oh, dear son, oh Balaram, and he's waiting for you. Therefore, please come back just to please us. And then she began talking to all the other boys who were playing and said, all the boys playing with you and Krishna, everyone should go to their own homes. So she attracted Balaram in order to make Krishna giving up playing and become joyful. She spoke with great eagerness. My dear son, because of playing all day, your body has been covered with dust. It is covered with sand. Come back and take your bath and cleanse yourself. And today, the moon is conjoined with the auspicious constellation, the nakshatra of your birth. It is your birthday today, and we wish to celebrate it. So please become clean and pure and give cows and charity to the brahmanas to celebrate your birth. Because Krishna loved to give charity to the brahmins. So then she saw other boys coming from their houses at this time. And her desire to take Krishna home increased. So she said, just see how your playmates of the same age, look how clean and nice they look and decorated with beautiful ornaments. Our acharya says he was trying to incite his competitive spirit with his friends. You should come here. And after you have taken your bath and eaten your lunch and had been decorated with ornaments, you may play with your friends again. Attracting him with her calling, she was moving closer and closer. And then when she was very close, she grabbed him by the hand and grabbed Balaram with the other hand, very gently, of course. Actually, it wasn't his birthday at all. But still, when she brought Krishna home, they performed the great ceremony and gave much charity to the Brahmins. So hearing this story, this pastime of Krishna from his wife, of what had happened this morning, he began to think, Upananda began to think. The two mothers have anxiety for their sons. because this land seems to be surrounded by evil persons, I will go to Nanda's assembly and raise this issue for consideration. And his wife said, yes, please discuss this in the assembly of Nanda Maharaj. So all the cowherd men gathered in the assembly of Nanda, and they discussed why protecting the cows was not properly being done in this place. They said, by living a long time in Mahavan, all the trees have been destroyed. And those who are elder in years and wisdom, such as Upananda, who are endowed with great prema for Krishna and great love for Balaram, they attain great bliss because out of his own desire, Krishna walked into that assembly and he began teasing the old man, and he sat on the lap of Nanda, of Upananda, and began playing with him like that. And he held their chins, and he asked them playful, funny questions, and he moved about looking for toys. But Upananda then spoke nicely, and he said, we need to protect all the children. And I see the worry of Nanda while living in Mahavan. Though you may say that we should not stay here in the interest of the cows, because Mahavan has now been, there's no food, trees for the cows anymore. I say we should not stay here because of the interest of the young children. We must protect them. Even though we are trying to protect Nanda's son with great care, many accidents have occurred. What other reason, other than these dangers, do we need for leaving Gokul Mahavan? Yes, it is true. When misfortunes have occurred, we have been protected by the Supreme Lord. But it is not proper to force the Lord to act on our behalf. Person who is considering moving because of difficulty in one place, he also should think about the place that he is moving to. He should give up the place that is the cause of grief, and he should accept the place that gives happiness. And this place, Gokul Mahavan, is now unsuitable. Mahavan is now on a daily basis giving us anxiety. Putana, Sakatasura, Trinavarta, the trees falling. And one should take shelter of that place that gives happiness in this life and the next. And that place that gives the highest happiness and is most pure is the forest of Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, there is a mountain called Govardhan. It provides everything for the cows and the cowherds. One must consider which activities give happiness and which give fear. We don't need to pay any taxes to move from one forest to another. Our permission is already granted. We should leave this place immediately. Whatever effort is put into action immediately produces a quick result. And he turned to all the cowherd men and said, if my reasoning is pleasing to you, it is good. For if there is agreement on an object being investigated, it will produce great benefit. If you agree to this proposal, have the cows give milk to their calves to full satisfaction, and let us all immediately go to Vrindavan. The household utensils should be packed up too, and the carts and the tents should be engaged. And the cowherds immediately accepted this proposal. It is said that when Krishna was lifted high in the air by Trinavarta, from the heights above, he looked and saw the Vrindavan forest and was attracted, and therefore he inspired Upananda to speak and act in this way. And without argument, the cowherd man accepted his words. For when seeds are sown on proper soil, they sprout and bear fruit, and not otherwise. So, with the rumbling of drums, we need some rumbling drums at the moment, everyone called out, "Let's inform Purnamasi. Send her first, and then we will move the village." The sound of everyone's agreement confirmed that they are actually goshas. Gosha means sound, and also cowherds. And when the cows, with the rumbling of drums, they called out, "Let us inform Purnamasi." Then they got the cows together, and the carts and musical instruments. The carts rumbled and the musical instruments played and covered every other sound. And placing the elders on the carts and holding their bows out of fear of attack from Kamsa, the cowherds gravely departed with the cows walking in front. And when the carts moved together, they made a rattling sound. People looking from afar, seeing the carts with their tents, said that it looked like a village was moving on the road. Some ran, some called, some answered, some went back, some went forward, some were taking care of their relatives. All was singing the pastimes of baby Krishna. And as they sang, they shed tears, they became stunned, they perspired, and horripilations or goosebumps developed on their bodies, and the complexions of their bodies changed from color to color. The women wearing new clothing mounted their carts and they began singing with bliss in very loud voices. They sang, "O son of King Nanda, O son of Yashoda, from your birth you have increased bliss. You give bliss to all your relatives. You drank poison which lost its effects by touching you. By your mercy, you do not accept the faults of others. You became blissful on breaking the cart. You are good luck for Gokula. You are pleasurable by having many names. You always play with Baladev. You play in the courtyard by crawling around. You play with your friends. You overcame Trinavarta. You gave bliss to Nanda. You take pleasure in releasing the calves. You give happiness and fame to the people of Braja. Your thieving gives joy to all, and it shows your great courage. You perform pastimes of being tied up, and you give happiness to all. It is your very nature." While singing and desiring to see Krishna, they proceeded quickly to the Vrindavan forest. Maybe you could show, we've put together this, a map of the way they went. Whoops, that's not going to be able to be seen very well. How do we, because you can't see it very well. What are we going to do about this? Maybe it's time to drop the curtain. But I think it's this light, isn't it? Is there any way to turn off a light? Because down here is Gokul, and this is where they left from. And here is the Yamuna River. Yes. And the Yamuna River goes here. And they walked, I think it is 20 kilometers or 22 kilometers. They walked on this route. Can you see the route? To just the point, quite close to Kalaya Vidda. And that's where they crossed the Yamuna. And later on, they will walk from across the Yamuna to Kalaya Vidda over here in this direction. They will walk to Chatikara, which is another, it comes to a total of about 30 kilometers approximately. Now turn the light on again for a moment. Hearing the pastimes of Krishna and Balaram with great pleasure. So not as to be separated from Krishna and Balaram for even a moment. They got up with them, Yasoda and Rohini, got on a bullock cart. And in this situation, everyone looked beautiful. On the cart, the two women sat on this huge cart, this rat. And it was shining with gold, and it was inlaid with jewels, and there were soft, clean pillows inside, made brilliant by the effulgence of Krishna. And Krishna turned to his mother and said, "Oh, Ma, where is everyone going?" "Oh, son, we are going to a forest called Vrindavan," Krishna said. "Oh, when will we go home?" His mother said with a smile, "We are taking our home with us." Krishna said, "Mother, you're tricking me. How can that be true?" And Balaram said, "Krishna, these big carts are like houses. And look down. The lower place is down for cooking and other chores. Our houses are coming with us." Krishna, looking with astonishment, he touched Balaram and he laughed and he said, "You have spoken the truth. The houses are coming with us, but not only that, look, the trees are coming with us." Because when you're going like that, so if the trees can come with us, why can't our houses come with us? His mother and Mohini said with a smile, "Oh son, the trees are not going anywhere. They only appear to be moving." Krishna said enthusiastically, "But where is Vrindavan?" "Oh son, it is across the Yamuna River. But because Gokul is right next to the Yamuna River, and they were going to the east of the Yamuna, and later they will cross it again." Mohini said, "It is across the Yamuna River." And Balaram said, "But we have left the Yamuna far behind. Is there another Yamuna in front of us?" And his mother said, "Oh, son, there are not two Yamunas." Balaram looked at his mother's face with joy and astonishment. And Krishna said, "If the trees and house can move, then the Yamuna can also move." And when the two mothers laughed in joy, Krishna again spoke it with eagerness. "Oh, little mother, Mohini, what joy exists in Vrindavan for which we make this big endeavor of moving there?" And Mohini said, "Oh son, there are many places for playing, and in Vrindavan there are many things to play with." Krishna jumped on the lap of Balaram, who was like a spotless moon, and Krishna raised himself up with affection. He raised his head and he looked at Balaram, and they laughed and they rolled around. Then they approached a forest that was joyful with the touch of breezes and mixed with the waves of the Yamuna. And listening to the conversation of the two mothers, Krishna stood up and joined Balaram. And he saw different sights that he had never seen before. He saw trees and animals and birds that he had never seen before in Gokul. And he asked about them and he received answers as they arrived at a pleasant forest on the bank of the Yamuna. Krishna said, "What is that tree with all the leaves that quiver?" "Oh, my son, it is a peepal tree." "And what is a tree with millions of buds?" "It is Undumbara tree." "And what is that tree with all the long hair over it?" "That is a banyan tree." "And what are those brown and black animals that are bouncing and jumping around?" Oh, those are deer. And what is that animal, which is a mixture of buffalo and a horse? That is a Rohirrim deer. And what are those animals that have branches coming from their heads? Those are the Sambara deer. And thus, the son of Nanda, along with Balaram, increased his glory as he asked the names of the animals from his mother. And what is that bird over there that has all those colors? Oh, Morhe. It is a peacock. And what is that bird that softly coos? It is quail bird, a cuckoo bird. And what is that bird that sounds like a human talking? That is a parrot. And what is that thing moving around the flowers? Oh, that is a bumblebee. In this way, the two boys talked to their mothers while going to the new forest, and they laughed, and they showered the women of Braja with waves of bliss. The inhabitants of Braj then arrived at the bank of the Jamuna, which became crowded with the carts and the cows, and when they desired to cross the river, they wandered about, making sweet sounds as they talked to each other. The two of them left their mothers and went to the high cart of their father, and because of its height, they could look out and see on the other side of the Yamuna the forest of Vrindavan. They saw the Yamuna that was filled with blue lotuses, and Nanda and the others began talking amongst themselves. Oh, that forest across the river from here, it is most beautiful. It is like a cloth that's woven with many colors. Vrindavan has a wonderful flow of sweetness, like a showering cloud with lightning and a rainbow because of its red, yellow, and white flowers. And from far off, it releases a shower of nectar. The noise created by the various cries of the birds is like an attracting mantra whose subject is Krishna, and it attracts all living entities that have ears, even though they do not know the meaning of the sounds. While Krishna and Balaram were seeing and hearing all of this, the cowherd men prepared for the cows to cross the river. At the time of crossing the bank of the river, the water of the Yamuna became filled with cows in a moment. And when the cows had crossed the river, the cowherds had the women come down from the covered carts along with the furniture, and out of the carts they made a boat-like bridge that was like a highway. Using great skills, they used the kashakusha and sara reeds and the bamboo, and it was all tied together. And when the bridge reached from one side to the other, the people who were on one side became the inhabitants of the other. They sang, they laughed, they played, and they entered the Vrindavan forest. Therefore, the Bhagavatam says, Vrindavanam samapravishya sarvakala sukhavaham, that in every season, at every time, when they entered the forest of Vrindavan, it was filled with pleasure. They made a temporary place to inhabit by placing the carts around them in a shape of a half moon, chatikara. And then, with great enthusiasm and eagerness, Krishna and Balaram jumped down from the cart near the bank of the river. They called their friends with long and short cries, and putting their friends behind, Krishna and Balaram, for the first time, entered the pure and colorful forest of Vrindavan. They looked to the left, they looked to the right, and they began walking in the forest. On entering that forest, Krishna perceived it, he touched it, and he made it blissful. It is described that the forest was singing when Krishna touched it through the calls of the coil birds. It was dancing by the movement of the creepers, and it developed goosebumps and its sprouting buds. This is true, since the forest reacted in this way by the touch of Krishna's feet. Krishna and Balaram experienced bliss by being raised on the shoulders of relatives and being carried along around by their friends. They associated with the animals having auspicious marks, and they went from Vatsa Krita on the bank of the Yamuna to Chatikara. With the sound of drums and the order of Nanda, and with Chatikara in the west and facing the southeast, they stopped at a level area devoid of trees. Vrindavan, whose qualities are revealed by its names, when occupied by Nanda's group, shone with splendor as if awakening from a sleep. The next day, they placed thorny trees, branches which they dug up, and old thorn bushes around the carts. And with Govardhan visible from the eastern gate, they built houses near a line of trees. Though that they had given up their fine houses, the cowherd houses they built were now equal to the ones they previously lived in. The cowherd village that they made measured 8 kroshas, 16 kilometers, and the cow pastures within it measured 4.5 kroshas, 9 kilometers. Though this measurement is accepted by material eyes, the place was actually inconceivable in its size and potency. And in the middle was Nanda's house. On its sides were his brother's houses. Around those were many other people's houses, and their houses were arranged according to the amount of love that they had for Krishna. As previous, they all experienced unprecedented bliss on coming to Vrindavan. The two boys, anxious to play, had a very strong desire to see the forest of Vrindavan again, and every day the two boys wandered in the forest with their father as he herded the cows. Vrindavanam Govardhanam Jamuna Pulunalnicha Viksha Sid Uttama Priti Rama Madhavayor Nripa. When Rama and Krishna saw Vrindavan, Govardhan, and the banks of the river Jamuna, they both enjoyed great pleasure. All the banks of the Yamuna with their natural areas, surpassing fields of camphor, Govardhan with piles of rocks suitable for sitting and lying down, and the jeweled earth of Vrindavan with its groves of attractive trees became the cause of joy for the two boys. Okay, you have listened so carefully and attentively, and Krishna and Balaram have entered Vrindavan. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Sri Vrindavan dham ki jai. Srila Prabhupada bhaktavinda ki jai. Sri Giriraj Govardhan ki jai. Braj Raj Duli ki jai. Jamuna Maya ki jai. Hare Krishna.